kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Filipino on mobile, online, and on radio.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino sa mobile, online, at radio.
Nais naming kilalanin ang tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain mula saan kami sumasayang papawid sa araw na ito. Ang SBS Filipino ay nagbibigay galang sa mamamayan ng Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung ng Kulin Nation at sa mga nakakatandang miyembro ng kanilang komunidad noon at ngayon. Kinikilala din namin ang mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng mga lupain ng Aboriginal at Torres Strait Islander mula sa mga lugar na kinatatayuan ng aming mga tagapakinig.
And initially, I didn't have any friends at school because I was a very shy kid. But then I somehow ended up in a singing group and I joined a talent. Yeah, well, it's a very, very typical Pinoy po, ano. I ended up joining a talent competition and people just started gravitating to me.
Kwento ng minsang mahiyaing bata na ngayon isa sa pinaka-aktibong Pilipino-Australiano sa Melbourne. Yan at marami pang iba sa programa ngayong Miyerkules ng umaga. Para sa pinakahuling balita mula SBS Filipino, narito si Adinel Magtibay.
Sa ulo ng mga balita, Pilipinas nagdeklara ng National Energy Emergency dahil sa epekto ng digmaan sa Middle East. Free trade deal ng Australia at European Union inaasahang magpapalakas sa wine exports, ngunit ilang mga nasa sektor ng agrikultura tumutol. At unang MP na may Pinoy heritage na halal sa South Australia. Sa detalye ng mga balita, nagdeklara ng State of National Energy Emergency si Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. bilang tugon sa epekto ng digmaan sa Middle East sa supply ng enerhiya. Ang deklarasyon ay tatagal ng isang taon at magbibigay ng kapangyarihan sa pamahalaan na pangasiwaan ang distribusyon ng fuel, pagkain, gamot at iba pang pangunahing pangangailangan sa bansa. Bahagi rin ng hakbang ang pagbibigay ng fuel subsidy sa transport sector upang mabawasan ang epekto ng pagtaas ng presyo ng langis. Ngunit ayon sa jeepney driver na si Joseph Orinon, mas marami pang maaring gawin ang pamahalaan.
Sa panawagan ko naman sa Pangulo natin na kung maaari, tanggalin na lang po yung tax. Malaking bagay na rin po yung makakatulong. Kasi kung aanoin naman natin yung pagtaas dito sa rota namin, ay baka hindi na rin sumakay yung mga tao. Dahil siyempre, dagdag ano rin nila yan. Gastos. Tapos, halos konti na nga po yung sumasakay. Gawa nung nagbabudget na rin siguro sila. Kaya sana, yano na lang po yung tax. Tanggalin muna pansamantalang dumadaan tayo sa krisis na po.
Balita sa labas ng bansa, ayon sa ilang opisyal ng Israel, tila determinado si US President Donald Trump na makipagkasundo sa Iran upang matigil ang umiiting na hidwaan. Sa ulat ng Reuters, sinabi ng mga opisyal na tumangging magpakilala na naniniwala silang mahirap pumayag ang Iran sa mga hinihingi ng Estados Unidos. Kabilang sa mga kondisyong ito ang pagpigil sa nuclear program at ballistic missile development ng Iran. Samantala, matapos ipagpaliban ang banta laban sa Iran, sinabi ni Pangulong Trump na naging very good at productive ang pag-uusap ng dalawang bansa, ngunit pinabulaanan ito ng Iran na nagsabing walang naging ganitong positibong pag-uusap na naganap. Sa ibang balita, ipinagdiriwang ng wine industry sa Australia ang bagong free trade agreement sa European Union na magtatanggal ng tariffs sa pag-export ng Australian wine. Matapos ang halos isang dekada ng negosasyon, nilagdaan ang kasunduan sa Canberra nina Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. At sa ilalim ng kasunduan, inaasahan na lalaki ang market access ng Australian wine sa European Union, na isa sa pinakamalaking merkado sa mundo. Gayunpaman, may mga sektor, lalo na sa ilang magsasaka, ang tumututol dito at tinawag itong hindi patas. Bahagi ng dilay ang pagpapatigil sa paggamit ng pangalang Prosecco para sa mga Australian wines sa loob ng susunod na 10 taon bilang bahagi ng proteksyon sa European product naming. Balita pa rin sa Australia, mahigit 35,000 education workers sa Victoria ang naglungsad ng 24 na oras na welga dahil sa hindi pagkakasundo sa sahod sa pagitan ng union at ng pamahalaan. Nakilahok din sa industrial action ng ilang education staff mula Tasmania bilang pakikiisa sa isyu ng sahod at kondisyon sa trabaho. Ayon sa datos, ang mga entry-level teachers sa Victoria ay kumikita ng mas mababa ng humigit kumulang $16,500 kumpara sa kanilang mga katapat sa Northern Territory na may pinakamataas na sahod para sa mga guro sa bansa. Dahil dito, iginigiit ng mga union na kinakailangan ng mas patas na sahod upang makahikayat at makapanatili ang mga guro sa sektor. Sa ibang balita, ipinagpaliban ng New South Wales government ang diskusyon sa planong pagbabago sa Crown Land Laws matapos ang matinding pagtutol mula sa Indigenous groups. Sa kasalukuyang batas, maaring i-claim ng Aboriginal Land Councils ang mga lupang hindi ginagamit o hindi kinakailangan. Ngunit sa panukalang pagbabago, maaring ituring na lawful use ang mga lupang may lease kahit kung hindi ito aktibong ginagamit na ikinakabahala ng mga grupo dahil maaring itong hadlangan ang land claims. Ayon sa State Land Rights Network, hindi sila nabigyan ng sapat na konsultasyon bago ipinakilala ang mga amendments sa parlamento. Samantala, binabantayan ng Australian Competition and Consumer Commission ang posibleng pagtaas ng presyo ng airline tickets. Ayon sa ahensya, inaasahang tataas ang airfare dahil sa kakulangan sa fuel at pagbabago ng flight patterns. Kung saan mas maraming pasahero naman ang dumadaan sa Asian hubs imbes na sa Middle East routes. Pinapaalalahanan naman ng regulator ang mga airlines na bagamat maaari silang mag-adjust ng presyo batay sa demand at gastos, hindi sila dapat magbigay ng mali o mapanlinlang na paliwanag sa pagtataas ng pamasahe. Sa New South Wales, nanawagan ng New South Wales Opposition na gawing libre ang public transport sa Easter long weekend mula April 3 hanggang April 6. Ayon kay Opposition Leader Kelly Sloan, makakatulong ito sa mga commuters sa gitna ng tumataas na presyo ng fuel at gastusin. Sinusuportahan ito ng International Energy Agency na nagre-rekomenda ng hakbang tulad ng work-from-home arrangements at mas paggamit ng public transport para makatipid sa enerhiya. Ngunit ayon kay Premier Chris Minns, may malaking gastos ang libreng pamasahe at hindi rin praktikal ang work from home setup para sa maraming frontline workers. Balita naman mula sa komunidad, anak ng isang Filipina migrant na halal bilang MP sa South Australia. Si Matthew Marozzi ay nahalal bilang member for Murialta at base sa kanyang profile, si Marozzi ay pinanganak sa Adelaide at anak ng mga migranteng magulang. Ang kanyang ina ay mula Pilipinas at ang kanyang ama naman ay mula sa Italia. Lumaki siya sa silangang bahagi ng Adelaide kung saan nagtrabaho bilang cleaner ang kanyang ina at bilang council worker naman ang kanyang ama. Ibinahagi ni Marozzi sa kanyang accounts na malaki ang naging impluwensya ng sakripisyo at sipag ng kanyang mga magulang sa kanyang desisyon na pasukin ang serbisyo publiko. Hangadyang maging boses ng kanyang komunidad at makatulong sa pagbibigay ng parehong oportunidad na nararanasan niya bilang anak ng mga migranteng nagsikap para sa kanilang pamilya. Itinuturing naman ito na isang masaysayang tagumpay para sa Filipino-Australian community. At para sa lagay ng panahon, ngayong araw ng Miyerkules, sa Perth maaraw at 32 degrees Celsius. Sa Adelaide may pag-ambon at 27 degrees. Sa Melbourne uulanin at 27. Sa Hobart may pag-ulan at 25. Sa Canberra may mga pag-ulan din at 27. Maaraw naman sa Sydney at 28. Sa Brisbane maulap at 30 degrees Celsius. Sa Cairns may mga pag-ulan at 31. At sa Darwin uulanin at 31 degrees Celsius. At yan ang kabuuan ng mga balita natin sa oras na ito. Abangan si Maridel Martinez sa ikalawang bahagi ng ating programa. Ako si Edenel Magtibay, magandang umaga.
Magandang umaga sa lahat ng nakikinig sa SBS Filipino ngayong 25 araw ng Marso. Naku, isang linggo bago ang Semana Santa. Maridel Martinez ang iyong kasama ngayong Miyerkules ng umaga. At magandang umaga sa iyo, Edenel Magtibay.
Magandang umaga, Maridel. Magandang umaga sa ating mga tagapakinig.
Napakabilis ng panahon, no? Magsasara na naman ang buwan ng Marso at sa susunod na linggo, medyo maikli ang linggo dahil ika nga nila'y Easter Week.
Oo, at marami namang nag-aabang para sa long weekend pa ika nga, ano, o mahabang pahinga para sa ilan sa mga naririto.
Oo, at para naman sa patuloy na sumusubaybay, huwag pong kalimutan kahit anong oras, kahit anong araw, mapapakinggan nyo kami. At syempre, tuloy-tuloy ang serbisyo ng live mula alas 10 hanggang alas 11, Lunes hanggang Linggo, maging piyesta opisyal man o hindi. At sa araw na ito nga, Edenel, ay nabanggit mo ang kauna-unahang Filipino-Australian o may Filipino heritage na nahalal sa parlamento. Napakamakasaysayan ang araw na ito para sa marami. Si Matthew Marozzi sa South Australia.
Oo nga, at base nga doon sa mga nabasa natin tungkol sa kanya ay talagang ipinagmamalaki niya, no, na siya ay anak ng mga migrante.
At dito sa Australia, no, marami ang malaking populasyon ng mga tao ay isinilang mula sa mga migranteng magulang. At isa nga, marami ang nag-aakala na medyo mga 70s-60s nagsidatingan yung mga Pinoy. Mm-hmm. Pero ayon sa kasaysayan, 1800s pa lamang ay may mga Pilipino nang nakatungtong sa Australia.
Oo, at isang malaking bahagi ng kasaysayan ng Australia ang sinasabi, ano, na naging papel ng mga Pilipino pagdating nila dito.
Mga tinawag na Manila Men na natagpuan sa Thursday Island noong 1884.
Grabe, napakatagal na panahon na, 1880s pa. Ito ay sa Northern Australia at sila ay tinawag na mga Manila Men o mga pearl divers na dumayo dito noon.
Oo, dahil isa sa pinakamalaking industriya rin ng Australia ay yung perlas. Na kung kayo po ay mahilig sa perlas, ay marami niyan ay nasa South Australia. Yung mga magagandang kalidad, doon po siya natatagpuan. At ang mga Pinoy ay isa sa mga may pioneer ng mga sumisisid ng malalim para makuha ang mga ito.
At sinasabi nga doon sa mga historical mga details na 400 Catholics from Manila, itong mga Manila Men ang nagdatingan dito sa Australia, pero ngayon umaabot na tayo ng mahigit 400,000 Pilipino.
Oo, at marami sa kanila ay nakapag-asawa ng mga katutubong Australiano o yung mga mula sa First Nations, na matatagpuan natin ang mga kwento nila sa ating Indigenous series.
Oo, at marami tayong ibinabahagi na mga kwento ng tagumpay at iba pang mga nagbibigay inspirasyon sa kanilang buhay na pagiging Pilipino at mga indigenous na mga may mga indigenous heritage din.
At kung napapaisip kayo, meron ding mga Pinoy o Filipino-Australian na may lahing katutubong Australiano ang nanungkulan at nagsilbi noong una't ikalawang digmaang pagdaigdig. Yan, at ang kwento nila ay naugat mula sa Darwin. So alamin yan sa ating Indigenous series.
Napakarami pang mga kwento din ng ating mga kababayan bukod din sa mga may mga lahing mga katutubo. Ganun din yung iba't iba pang mga migrante na nagtungo dito na nakapagtagumpay din sa kanilang mga larangan.
Sabi nga, magandang malaman ang kasaysayan para maunawaan mo kung anong landas ang tatahakin mo para sa kinabukasan. At sa pagtalakay ng kinabukasan, syempre, Edenel, magbabalik ka sa darating na Sabado?
Magbabalik tayo para ihatid naman ang kwento ng ating mga kababayan mula sa ating komunidad. Ating kikilalanin ang ilan sa mga kababaihan sa community na laging aktibo no sa mga events at patuloy na ipinagmamalaki ang kulturang Pilipino. Makakasama natin si Papa Dan tuwing araw ng Sabado. At magbabalik din ako sa araw ng Martes para patuloy na maghatid ng iba pang mga ulat.
Ayan, maraming salamat Edinal Magtibay. At syempre sa pagpapatuloy bilang buwan ng Marso, Women's Month, pagpapatuloy natin ang bahagi ng pagbabahagi ng mga kwento ng mga Pinay Australiano at ang mga binabahagi nilang bagay-bagay at tulong at ambag sa buhay Australia. Pero bago yan, magtungo muna tayo sa ilang mahalagang paalala. Matapos ang ilang mahalagang paalala, magbabalik ako kasama si Nikki Gregorio. Po'y patuloy na nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Sa pagkakataong ito, ihatid sa atin ni Nikki Gregorio ang isang natatanging kwento kaugnay sa isang bibihirang sakit kung saan kahapon, March 24, ginunita ang World Tuberculosis Day. Narinig niyo na ba ang TB of the Brain? Nakukilalanin ng isang Filipino-Australian artist na dumanas nito at kung paano siya nakabangon sa tulong ng pagpipinta.
Life is good, why do you feel so low? You got potential and credentials to show. Apparently I'm promising, I'm told. So why can't I just let it all unfold? I should learn to go along with the flow. But the monsters under the bed. People sing, people dance, and that's just part of culture. And so I think it's hard to sort of separate that from like I actually need to do this rather than just like it's fun to do this. Be like, no, I actually need to do this as part of like my healing and recovery. Yeah.
Nagkaroon ng malubhang sakit ang lawyer, singer at artist na si Mike Cosentina noong nakalipas na taon. Mula sa kanyang pinagdaanan at patuloy na pinagdadaanan, ang art ay naging isang lifesaver.
Art talaga yung first love ko. And I think it was, we're very lucky. My sisters and I, my parents put us in various kinds of creative schooling over like the summer during the school year. I did theater. I was able to do... explore a bit of music. I sing as well. I did piano. I didn't like that, so I didn't pursue that. But I was, I think, 7 years old when I did my first summer art school, and it's always been something that I'd loved. But I did it also as one of my subjects, actually, when I came here in Australia in year 11 and 12. But that was probably the last time that I truly, truly nurtured art. And I think it wasn't it, like that was probably the last time that I saw art as more than something that I do to de-stress, if that makes sense. That it was, yeah, I think from that point onward, it was just like a hobby that I picked up if I had time. Whereas it was, yeah, from 7 until about when I was 16, it was very, I was very much, you know, anyone you spoke to when you, they would probably describe me as someone who was creative or artistic. Yeah, and it's funny how art gets equated with something luxurious or something childish or child, you know, that is connected to your youth rather than, yeah, something that is actually a practice.
And yung mga subjects that you love drawing.
For me, always and probably always will be portraits talaga. Like I love capturing human emotion and human expression and not just, I know, like yung likeness of the image and making your portrait look like the image or the reference photo, but also capturing that someone's light.
Pinili ni Michael maging lawyer kahit nais niyang mag-art school. Dahil sa guilt na naramdaman niya, sa hirap na pinagdaanan ng kanyang mga magulang na dalhin sila sa Australia.
As much as I really wanted to go to art school, I kind of kept art as, yeah, kind of defined it as a hobby and something that I did for fun. But and I think for the last, I'd say maybe decade, which is, yeah, also how long I've been a lawyer, art's taken a bit of a backseat. And it's funny how, yeah, you know, you end up getting sick and nothing matters, and you do the things that you want to spend your time doing on. And I've gravitated to something that I've always loved as a kid, which is art and creativity.
Yeah, so with that, let's go to yun nga, yung hospital stay mo, yung naging chronic illness mo.
So I fell quite ill in August of last year. I started getting double vision and nausea and migraines. And at first, the doctors thought that it was something to like a neurological issue. And they thought it, you know, resembled palsy or stroke-like symptoms. And so I ended up being under the care of the neurology department for a long time. I actually, it took about a month to diagnose, and I was in hospital in and out of MRI, CT, PET scans, biopsies for 4 weeks. But they actually diagnosed me with tuberculosis in my brain. And so I know. And it's very rare. And it is like 1 to 2% of cases of tuberculosis that only, it's only in my brain. It's not anywhere else. In my body, which also is very rare in Australia. And yeah, so I ended up in hospital for 2 months, in the end. Yeah, because it took so long to diagnose because it is not something that's commonly seen, in Australia. And then the treatment protocols are very intense. To add to, the rarity of it, I have multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. One of the theories that the doctors were floating around was that potentially I've had latent TB in my body since I was a child, because it is still quite common in the Philippines. Yung prognosis is full recovery, diba? And it's fully treatable. So yeah, it silver lining is, yeah, it's not bad compared to what other diseases it could have been. It started off as something that I could do in the hospital with my hands rather than just scrolling on Instagram or binging something on Netflix. I think there's something about making something with my hands that, for me anyway, it short circuits a lot of my anxiety and my rumination. And it was just the best way for me to avoid dwelling, especially at the time when I still didn't know what was wrong with me. I had a feeling it was something quite serious. And so there's a lot of overthinking and anxiety that comes with that. So it started off as I was, a way to cope, but also something that I was bored. There's a lot of waiting. As a patient in hospital, you wait. You're waiting for the next scan. You're waiting for the next time the doctors will see you. You're waiting for the next blood test, the next meal. And 43 days in the grand scheme of things isn't that long. But if you break that down into minutes, I don't even know. That's like thousands and thousands of minutes. Most of it, you're just waiting. And so I think it was probably a week in, I asked my husband to bring. I just have this like small set, one of my watercolor sets at home. He's like, "Can you just bring it for me?" And like small sheets of paper. And I chose. I have other forms of medium at home, but watercolor was easy to. Obviously, I didn't want to like set up an entire studio in the hospital, and it was kind of compact and easy for me to pack away when I needed to. And so he brought that for me, and it sort of started as. I started working on one painting a night, kind of after dinner was served at the wards and before the nurses came around and to give you your medication. And I thought, I'm going to paint a series of works, and that series will be for however long I'll be in hospital.
At ang bunga ng lahat ng hirap, anxiety, at matagal na hospital stay para kay Maiko, isang art exhibit na nagtatanghal ng lahat ng artwork na ginawa niya noong siya'y nasa ospital.
It started off as like parang like daily journal. So I was kind of, you'll see some of the pieces have some humor in them, in like if you're a patient, you kind of know what I'm painting. I'm painting like the pattern of the socks that they give you in the hospital, or like little bits of patient life that no one really gets to see, other than the patients themselves or the hospital workers. So it started off as that, as like daily records, and then it sort of turned into, like I mentioned, I was in so many different wards. I turned into experimenting with abstract art and painting the feeling of that the wards gave me. So a part of the series is actually one work is dedicated to each of the wards I was at, and it kind of depicts the feeling of my experience being in those wards. And it's really interesting speaking to the nurses because they obviously all saw me painting in the hospital, and I showed them, it's like, "Oh, this is this ward," and they're like, "I understand completely why you've painted it in that way." And it's so amazing that people are relating to it because of that shared lived experience. So there's eight works that I really wanted to reimagine my scans. So because I went through a lot of testing and imaging, and in that process, I started to get really anxious of waiting for the next MRI or waiting for the next spinal tap or whatever it was. And I found that creating a part two, which is I called In My Own Image, it allowed me to sort of look at my scans as I'm the one observing the scans rather than the one being observed, which was my experience in the hospital, as it is with patients. And so it gave me that, allowed me to sort of reclaim, the narrative of what it feels like to be a patient with, an illness that is hard to diagnose and requires a lot of, imaging, and scans.
It might be a difficult question, but is there a particular one that really means the most to you, or the one na favorite mo?
In the first half, it was very much diaristic. So I would like it was observational sketches, and you could tell that they weren't very resolved. And I can only say that with hindsight, looking at it now, that it's like I clearly hadn't drawn or hadn't done any art for a while. But like with anything, when you practice and you do it every day, you improve and you get better and you get looser. And I could just see the second half of my work that there wasn't, it was hopeful, but I think there was a lot of enjoyment in it. And I could see that in the change of my technique, and I was working on bigger pieces. I wasn't scared to just experiment with different things. And that just made me really happy. And I think that's why it was my that portion of the works is my favorite, because I could see the happiness that it brought me at the time in making them.
I've talked with people who have gone through things then, a lot of trauma, a lot of pain. And then the people I've talked to na ganun, na artist sila nung bata, they rediscover it and then they find healing through that. They find themselves again. Iba talaga ang ginagawa ng art, whether it be singing, acting, writing, drawing. There's just something about it that shouldn't just be seen as child's play.
Society puts a lot of shapes a lot of the perception of art, that it is something that is luxurious and it is reserved for children, or it's not something that anyone can really take seriously. But yeah, it is so important. I actually think it is like part one of the things that's really put me through, and it got me through, and it's pretty life-saving, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
Sunod sa SBS Filipino sa Healthy Pinoy, madalas nating marinig ang menopause. Pero alam niyo ba kung ano ang perimenopause?
Healthy Pinoy.
Nasa late 30s o early 40s ka na ba at nakakaramdam ka ng fatigue o sobrang pagod kahit wala ka namang ginagawa o kaya'y hirap makatulog? Taglamig pero parang feeling mo napakainit ng pakiramdam. Hot flashes ang tawag dyan. At higit sa lahat, pabago-bago na ang cycle ng iyong menstruation o regla. Nako, baka nasa perimenopause ka na. Ngayong umaga sa Healthy Pinoy, kasama ang Sydney-based specialist GP, Dr. Angelica Lugarto Scott, at ilang eksperto, hihimayin natin kung paano i-manage ang mga sintomas ng perimenopause at menopause, lalo't lumabas sa isang survey dito sa Australia. Karamihan sa mga kababaihan ay kulang o walang alam tungkol sa usaping ito.
So, hindi na ako straight nakakatulog sa gabi, tapos palaging pagod or fatigue always. Tsaka yung period, minsan mahaba, minsan short, tsaka grabe yung mga headaches ko pag before or after the period. So tapos ang worst is yung mainit yung buong katawan mo, tsaka nagsisweat ka kahit na malamig.
Ito ang karanasan ng social worker sa Sydney na si Guylene Sanchez. Kwento niya, nagsimula ang lahat nang makarating dito sa bansa. Magtatatlong taon na ang nakaraan. at sa loob ng mga taong iyon, pagbahagi pa nito, busy at subsub siya sa pag-aaral, lalo tinapos niya ang kursong Masters of Social Work dito sa bansa. At sa buong klase, siya ang pinagkalooban ng Master's Achievement Award for Social Work sa taong 2025. Kaya minsan, napag-isip siya na bunga lang ito ng stress.
Nung nasa edad na ako na in my early 40s, kakadating na din namin dito sa Australia. So, nung una, akala ko dahil sa anxiety lang na kasi bago dito sa Australia, tapos may mga stresses. Pero may nakapagsabi sa akin na baka nasa perimenopause stage na ako. So around mga 43 siguro or 42.
Ayon kay Dr. Angelica Lugorta Scott, dapat maintindihan ng lahat ng mga kababaihan na ang perimenopause, menopause at postmenopause ay normal stage o proseso sa pagtanda.
Perimenopause, yun yung stage prior to menopause. So the age can vary depending on several factors such as genetics. Ang average years is about 4 to 6 years prior to menopause. And this is the stage wherein your body is running out of eggs. Yung menopause, ito yung tinatawag natin the final stage of menstrual period. So by definition, menopause is diagnosed if the woman has stopped the period for the last 12 months. Sa edad na ito, ito yung end of ovulation and also the body stops producing eggs. And because of this, yung hormones natin will significantly drop. Ang average age ng menopause is about 50 to 51 years old. But it can also occur at an earlier age. So that is defined as early menopause.
Ang tanong, anong edad karaniwang simulang nararanasan ang mga sintomas ng perimenopause? Sabi ng doktor, karaniwang nakapattern ito sa genetics ng pamilya.
Malaking factor ang family. So yung, for example, yung genetics, like for example, yung mother niya had an early menopause, so sometimes it follows as well na they have that particular pattern na either 45 ba or 46, or meron namang iba na nag-late nagme-menopause. So it usually follows genetic pattern. When you think about it, ang average age ng menopause is 51 to 52 years old. So maybe when you think about it, 4 to 6 years prior to that, then mga 45, starts of 45, nakakaranas na ang iba, not saying lahat, pero ang iba nakakaranas na yung mga perimenopausal symptoms.
At narito ang mga sintomas na dapat bantayan ng mga kababaihan kapag sila ay nakatungtong na sa edad late 30s hanggang 40 pataas.
Ang pinaka-common talaga is yung hot flushes o yung palagi silang mainit ang pakiramdam. Kasama na dito yung night sweats, palpitations or racing of the heart. Also yung feeling nila, yung bloated palagi ang feeling. Another one is yung fornications or yung feeling na may ant crawling on their skin. Oo, at saka body aches, yung pananakit ng katawan at mga joint pains, that's part of the menopause as well. Also, it's very common yung migraine or headache. Punta naman tayo sa mga gynecological symptoms. So, usually in the perimenopausal stage, meron silang heavy period, yung all over the place yung period nila. Minsan associated with clots and painful period. Meron namang iba na yung period nila is becoming lighter and lighter or no period. Doon naman tayo sa mga urinary symptoms. So it's very common to get incontinence. Or yung mga taong hindi makahold sa urine nila or weakness of pelvic floor, which causes leakage of urine when they, for example, run or laugh. Common din to have vaginal dryness. At saka yung loss of libido, very common.
At narito ang mga sintomas na dapat bantayan ng mga kababaihan kapag sila ay nakatungtong na sa edad late 30s hanggang 40 pataas.
Doon naman sa psychological symptoms, this is a big one kasi very common to. So they experience depression, anxiety, mood swings, memory loss, and insomnia. So it's really important that women are aware that these are the symptoms that can happen during that period. Meron namang iba na they undergo menopause, you know, happily, walang mga symptoms or very minimal symptoms. But there are those women as well who underwent menopause na very severe yung symptoms.
Ngunit, ang nakakabahala sa isang survey ng news.com.au, mahigit kalahati ng mga kababaihan sa Australia ay nakakaranas ng sintomas ng menopause. Pero milyon-milyon ang nahihirapang makakuha ng kahit basic na impormasyon at treatment. Ang kakulangan na ito ay may seryosong epekto sa kalusugan, social life at pananalapi. Ito ang ibinahagi ng editor ng news.com na si Kerry Warren.
Our FIRE-UP survey that was conducted in December 2025 and received over 2,000 responses found that nearly 37% of respondents had little or no knowledge about perimenopause and menopause. And when you jump to under 40, that number goes up to 62%. And the lack of knowledge about a health transition that will affect more than half of the Australian population is really quite staggering. Many women go without treatment because the symptoms are still just too often misunderstood or dismissed, both by the healthcare system and the women themselves. It's taking women up to 5 years to get a diagnosis, which means thousands are suffering for too long in silence. And it's all coming at a time when actually getting a doctor's appointment is harder than ever. It's taking years to get a diagnosis, which is really frustrating when you're dealing with a range of quite serious symptoms like insomnia, anxiety, brain fog. That's why FIRE-UP is calling for better education and an expanded role for community pharmacists, who are the most accessible health professionals. So support doesn't depend on your postcode or sheer luck.
Sang-ayon si Dr. Angelica Lugorta-Scott sa panawagan at sentimento ni Warren. Pagbahagi pa niya para masigurong walang underlying na mga sakit ang sintomas na nararanasan ng mga kababaihan, dapat talaga magpatingin sa doktor.
It's very important din na kumagal yung symptoms mo and it fits well yung pag-end ng period mo or fits well when you're perimenopausal stage, then it might be menopause. But it's really important you speak to your doctor because there are other tests that can be done, you know. Mm. Like for example, itong mga hot flushes and night sweat, it can be related to thyroid as well. So it's important to do blood test, you know, to make sure na wala namang other cause, walang underlying symptoms.
Mm-mm.
Or other underlying reasons now why you're feeling this way. Yeah, so it's very important to rule that out. Other endocrinological conditions can also present as this. So it's very important na ma-rule out yun.
Sa karanasan ni Gailin, dahil hindi pa siya nagpatingin sa doktor, lalo't wala naman siyang seryoso o matinding nararamdaman. Bagos, pursigido siya sa sariling pagsaliksik o research kung paano i-manage ang kanyang sintomas.
My routine talaga ako to be able to sleep well. So I have to be in bed at this time para at least makatulog ako ng konti, tapos yung kung magising man, at least early nakatulog, tapos yung kailangan, you know, yung may mga sounds na to help you go to sleep, yung mga meditations, music, yung to ease up anxiety din, nagme-meditate ako every morning before, you know, before magising para walang masyadong anxiety, tapos maraming vitamins, yung magnesium, vitamin D. Kasi sabi nila mas nakakatulong daw yung magnesium sa tulog. So, and then a bit of walking. I make sure na gumagalaw ako. Hindi pwedeng walang galaw kasi pag walang galaw, parang yung body mo, especially kung malapit ka na sa period, marapit na ako sa period ko or after sa period ko, yeah, grabe yung fatigue na nararamdaman.
Ayon kay Dr. Angelica, dapat maintindihan ng lahat ng mga kababaihan, iba-iba ang management ng sintomas, kaya mahalagang kumonsulta sa health professionals.
In terms of the management, it's very personal and specific to each individual, okay? Kasi nga, everyone is different, yeah? Ang management talaga is focused on assessing yung risks and consequences of estrogen deficiency. Kasi pag deficient na tayo sa estrogen, it can significantly cause like cardiovascular disease, yung osteoporosis, at yung fractures. So, ang management is parang holistic talaga siya. Hindi lang sa symptoms, merong options. Merong hormonal at meron rin mga non-hormonal options.
Dagdag naman ni Gailin, malaking tulong ang suporta ng pamilya, pati komunidad, para maintindihan ang mga nangyayari sa isang babae na nasa stage na ito.
Yun yung nagbibigay sa iyo ng, you know, yung parang hindi ka nag-iisa, na hindi lang ikaw ang nakaka-experience ng ganito. Tapos ang nangyayari, nagiging joke na lang siya sa office na, ah, kasi ganito, kasi. So gumagaan yung feeling mo. Tsaka sa family members din, kasi yung nararamdaman ko now, nakakausap ko yung mga auntie ko, yung mama ko, which na-realize ko din na they went through very early menopausal. So some of them nasa age 39 to 45, nasa menopause na. So naisip ko din, mas madali ko siyang natanggap. Nakakatulong yung social connections talaga. May mga groups, if nasa sa social media ka, may mga groups na makikita mo or mga information na makikita mo about perimenopause. So if comfortable ka na join sa mga group or, you know, mag-follow ng mga pages about perimenopause, baka makakatulong din siya.
May panawagan naman ang editor na si Carrie Warren sa lahat ng mga kababaihan.
Talk to your GP or your trained community pharmacist about the symptoms you're experiencing and the treatment options that are actually available. Don't suffer in silence. It does not have to be like this. You can also talk to the women in your life. Let's start a national conversation about menopause, because that kind of awareness and support coming from all different areas in your life actually makes a huge difference to the women who are going through this transition. Australians can visit news.com.au, and we've got heaps of information about menopause. We've got helpful articles, we've got advice, and we've also got a quick reader poll to demand better care for the women in your life and women across Australia.
Huling payo ni Dr. Angelica Lugarta Scott sa mga tulad niyang babae, maging bukas sa pagkonsulta sa GP para matugunan ng personal na treatment ang kanilang mga sintomas, physical man o psychological.
I-maintain yung muscle mass talaga and stay active. Kasi one of the signs of menopause rin is we lose muscle mass. So it's very important to maintain that by doing aerobic exercise or doing exercises to maintain our health. And also yung bone health natin, very important. So exercises again and healthy diet is very important.
Ang mga impormasyon sa panayam na ito ay gabay lamang. Para sa karagdagang payo na naaayon sa iyong problema o sitwasyon, mainam na kumonsulta sa iyong GP o doktor tungkol sa mga usaping pangkalusugan.
Healthy Pinoy.
Kasama ko ngayon si Counselor Jennifer Deason mula City of KC ng Turadin Ward. Welcome sa SBS.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Maridel. Thanks for having me here. Yeah.
Kwento ng pakikipagsapalaran, hamon at tagumpay. Ito ang Pinoy's in Australia. Jennifer, ikaw ay isinilang sa Pilipinas.
Opo.
Lumaki sa Pilipinas.
Tama po.
Lumipat kayo nung 12 years old ka.
Yes po.
Bakit kayo lumipat sa Australia?
In search of a better life po, Maridel, to be fair. And lumaki po kami ng mahirap. Wala po kami masyadong, well, my family came from a lower socioeconomic background and hence my parents wanted to migrate in search of a better life.
Kasama mo yung buong pamilya?
Si mami lang po, tsaka si daddy ko.
So, tatlo lang kayo?
Opo, I'm an only child.
Ah, matipid. Only child, lumipat kayo dito, wala kang kakilala. Ano yung feeling mo nung lumapag yung eroplano sa Australia?
Well, my first thought was, the air is very clean. There's no pollution. And I was just bracing myself for hopefully a better life and I was just hoping to make some friends.
Walang jeep?
Wala pong jeep.
So, nung 12 years old ka, iniwanan mo yung mga kaibigan mo, iniwanan mo yung bahay mo. Mm-hmm. Ano yung feeling nung mga unang buwan mo dito?
Well, we came here in November of 2006. I was just about to start school in about January, just a few months after. My first thought, I think, when we went to the shops, because that was the first thing we did when we landed. Everything was expensive because I was converting everything into peso. So that was my first thought. And yeah, my auntie who helped us settle just took me to the relevant places, i.e. the shops, the bus stops, because my parents didn't drive at that time. We didn't have a car yet. So everyone was very friendly, actually.
Yeah. Sino yung una mong kaibigan? Naalala mo?
Not really. Well, when school started, I was very quiet, but because I had the strongest American accent and, you know, I didn't really have friends and I was just trying to get used to the way of living. But to answer your question, I actually don't remember my first friend.
May pinsan ka dito?
Opo.
So pwedeng sabihin sila yung mga una mong kaibigan?
Actually, yeah. That's fair. That's fair to say. And yeah, the age gap isn't that far ahead anyway. I think they're a few years older, like 5 to 7 years.
So tinuruan ka nila mag-Australian English?
Opo, ganun na nga.
So, fast forward,
opo.
Nag-aral ka ng law.
Yes po.
So, nung bata ka ba, palagi mong, did you ever always want to become a lawyer or a solicitor?
No. I actually wanted to become a doctor growing up because my parents wanted me to do something in the science field and to follow the family's footsteps pretty much. So, that's what I wanted to be. And then I reached VCE. Year 11, year 12. I did all the science subjects, everything that were prerequisites for medicine. But I absolutely hated it. I realized it was not my passion, and I found my passion in leadership and public speaking, as well as debating. I really loved debating team. I was in the school's debating team, and I represented the school, or my team anyway. I led the whole team to represent us nationally.
Hence law. Pasado pa rin sa mga gusto ng mga Pinoy na parents, di ba?
Tama po, tama
po. Doktor, abogado, engineer. Pare at madre. Di ba yung mga top five?
That's true.
Mahirap ba maging abogado sa Australia?
I would say yes. From law school po.
So, nag-Monash ka?
Monash po.
So, straight law school yun, hindi ba?
I did arts in psychology and law po. So, I did a double degree. To be very frank, I wanted to be a lawyer, but then I also had a backup, which was psychology, and hence I did the double degree just in case law didn't work out. In law school, I juggled multiple part-time roles because I just wanted to save up. And, you know, as I said, I grew up with almost nothing. So I wanted to contribute to our finances. So I did three part-time jobs. At some point, I did three part-time jobs at once.
So may social life ka pa nun?
I actually did, surprisingly. I think kapag po bata ka, ang daming energy eh.
Oo. Parang ayaw mong magpahinga.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like back in law school. But yeah, to answer your question, it was quite a task, especially managing all these part-time roles, a social life, and...
So, iniisip ko, nung lumipat ka sa Australia, nung naka-adjust ka na, high school hanggang year 12, mm-hmm. parang active yung social life mo.
I was very active.
So, hindi ka ba nahirapan na, ay, Pinoy ako? Kasi nabanggit mo kung saan ka lumaki,
Opo.
Bibihira yung Pinoy.
Opo. Yeah, I grew up in Dandenong, and as I mentioned to you before the interview, I actually didn't have Filipino friends. And initially, I didn't have any friends at school because I was a very shy kid. But then I somehow ended up in a singing group and I joined a talent. Yeah, well, it's a very, very typical Pinoy po, ano. I ended up joining a talent competition and people just started gravitating to me and everyone knew me and hence I gained a lot of friends. But I struggled a bit growing up with my Tagalog po because... You know, I would speak to my parents in English. I would respond. I understood Tagalog, but I would respond in English because it was a lot easier then. But then initially, I struggled with also my sense of identity. Growing up in Australia as a Filipino, it was a bit hard to navigate.
Ikaw ba yung isa sa mga school leaders nung high school?
Yeah, I was. I have always been passionate about leading a group of people since I was in grade 1, I think.
So, hindi ka ba nahirapan dahil ikaw yung, sabihin natin, natatanging Asian, Pinoy, sa eskwelahan ninyo sa Dandenong? Hindi ka nahirapan na, uy, boto. Kasi boboto sila Opo. Para sa'yo, di ba?
Opo. Nung una po, yes, I only started leadership programs po in year 9. The first 2 years, I was just, I thought people would be, you know, a bit more racist down that area. But as I said, like, I did a lot of extracurricular activities that naturally gravitated people to me. And in high school, people would want to be friends with people who are well-known.
Yes.
So they would want to associate themselves with people who are known to everyone. So in year 9, I became the middle school captain. So one of the 4 middle school captains. And then, people just voted for me, I think, because I knew everyone, really.
And year 12.
And then year 11, I became the Student Representative Council president, the youngest one, actually.
Wow.
Because that position usually goes to a year 12.
12.
But I always knew that I wanted to focus in year 12. I wanted a good ATAR. So I wanted to do that. I didn't want to do much extracurricular activities in year 12, so I could focus on my academics. And hence, I ran for Student Representative Council president position. It was a bit of a wishful thinking for me, but people somehow voted for me. And I became the youngest one for, I think it's been about 20-something years since...
So nung nag-college ka na, nag-uni ka,
yes, po.
At sabi mo, ayaw ko maging doktor.
Yeah.
Naiyak ba yung magulang mo?
No, una po, I think because they've always wanted me to become a doctor, I would say they were a bit disappointed, but then they saw that my real passion was in law and they saw me doing well with my grades and they saw me being happy with what I was doing. So, yeah, they started supporting it and now they're the proudest parents I know.
Grabe, di ba? Tapos, nagkaroon ka pa ng panahon para magtrabaho
Opo.
Sa Council of Casey bilang counselor. Dahil, siguro hindi alam ng marami
Opo.
Na kung counselor ka, parang volunteer yung trabaho na yon.
Yeah.
Pero kailangan meron ka pang sariling trabaho para mabuhay ka.
That's right.
So, abogado ka pa.
Yeah.
So, anong law ang pinapractice mo? Corporate law?
I'm doing earnest corporation law, insurance law, and building and construction. Those are my three main areas of specialty.
So, ang busy nun, di ba?
Sobra.
Lalo na ngayon. Sobra. Saan ka kumukuha ng panahon para ikutin mo pa yung mga pangangailangan sa council mo, sa ward mo?
Yeah, well, to be completely honest, Maridel, initially it was very hard because I was still learning how to do my I was still learning how to become a counselor and still learning my ways through it. But nowadays, I plan ahead. So, for example, on a Sunday night, if I know that I have a council briefing or events during the week, I would make sure that I plan my work in accordance with those schedules. I think I'm very lucky to have a very flexible working arrangement, and I'm a senior lawyer now, so I think the company trusts that I'll do the right thing. That's how I do it. I plan ahead, and I make sure to just stay calm.
So... Kailan mo na-decision na, gusto ko yata maging counselor? O ito ba yung parang nag-gravitate ka na lang doon kasi na-miss mo rin yung community vibe dahil sa school, hindi ba?
Yes po. I think I've always been active in the community anyway. I used to do a lot of volunteer work for the less fortunate because, as I said, I grew up with nothing or close to nothing. So the least I wanted to do was to give back to my community. So I've always been active in that space.
At nag-tutor ka?
I used to tutor disadvantaged kids, actually, when I was in uni. Because, yeah, as I said, I just wanted to make sure that I give back to my community, and that's the least I could really do. But to answer your question as to why and how I gravitated towards the role, I'm not sure if you would be aware, but the city of Casey didn't have counselors for about 4 years because of allegations of corruption.
Yes.
And, you know, our residents, including myself, have suffered from being run by bureaucrats and we didn't have representatives. So then I thought, you know what? Like, I think I would be the right person to make a positive change for the city of Casey. And I'm hoping that we have accountable people in the years ahead because, as I said, those people were alleged to have corrupted the community and I wanted good people in there and I was confident in myself that I would do the right thing.
At 2024, na-elect ka.
That's right.
Bilang isang independent.
Tama po.
Wow. Mahirap yun kasi wala kang backing ng political party, hindi ba?
Yes po. Exactly.
So saan ka kumuha ng manpower ng mga kampanya para sa'yo?
Wala po masyadong manpower actually. So it was just my mom and my dad, my husband and myself. And then throughout time during campaigning I only campaigned for 6 weeks, I think. I met people and those people have volunteered to help me with, you know, letterboxing, spreading the word. So initially just 4 people.
And then apat na Pinoy.
Tama po, apat na Pinoy. So yung parents ko lang, asawa ko, tsaka ako. So
pag lumipat sila sa Australia, marami, lalo na nung teenager ka, nahihirapan sila. Pero parang ikaw, nag-ease into ka lang sa bago mong buhay.
Mm.
Masasabi mo ba na malaking bahaging yun ay yung attitude mo?
Oo naman po. 100%. I still kept my values growing up. And also, as I said, my bit of singing helped in gaining friends. I was just really motivated to do well in this country because not everyone gets this opportunity.
So proud na proud ngayon ng magulang.
Sobra po.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.